Bless you, man. Romans chapter 12 tonight. Romans chapter number 12. We're taking a little break from our series. Don't want it to get monotonous, you understand, all these kind of things. And I've got the message from the Lord tonight, no question about it, that this is the message for this hour. I'll be honest, I've preached this here before, but I cannot get away from this thought. As I was praying and seeking the Lord this afternoon, this evening, He brought me directly to this message, and I cannot get away from it. I want to be a preacher that's guilty of preaching what the Lord tells me to preach. And this is what He has for this hour. So it's a repeat. I hope you understand. You say, Jody, I probably don't remember it anyway. Don't worry about it. I don't either. Amen. But anyway, this is a message that God's laid on my heart. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, mark the first three words, I beseech you. That word beseech carries the idea of begging. So tonight I preach on this topic, I beg you. I beg you. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. Speak to our hearts and challenge us from your word. May the will of God be done in this service. Please forgive my sins. Get me out of the way. May there be nothing to hinder you, and may your perfect will be done. Please, bind Satan his evil spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say loud and clear that God's holy word is precious. It's full of truths that are encouraging, comforting, convicting, and life-changing. And this one verse of Scripture we're looking at tonight is a verse that is so rich in content. And it's one of the many verses that calls us to step back in awe and step back in amazement. Let me show you what I mean. See, even though the Apostle Paul is speaking to these dear people, we know the Holy Spirit of God inspired these words to be included in His precious word. Therefore, we see that what Paul is saying to these dear people is actually what the Holy Spirit is saying to us as His children. Because the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He's talking to God's people. And He says, I beg you. Now get this picture. Here is the Lord God of heaven, who is all sufficient, all knowing, and all powerful. He needs nothing and needs nobody. And may I tell you that He is not begging here because He's in need of something. He needs nothing. He needs nobody. But we see the all-knowing, all-powerful God, the one who's been so good to us. Matter of fact, just stop and think a minute about how good God has been to you in your life. We don't deserve God's goodness. And yet when we think about God's goodness, we ought to be humbled and fall to our knees in adoration. And we ought to beg God to use us for His glory. But instead of us begging God to use us, we see that Paul, speaking through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is begging us to let God use us. This is a great request from you and me. And to show us just how much it means to us, He inspired the words, I beseech you. God, who needs nothing, is begging me for something. Not because He needs me, not because He needs anything, but He's doing it for my own benefit. Now I want to take this thought and see what our God is saying. As we consider this thought, I beg you. God is begging me for something tonight. We're going to get to it in just a moment. There's 3 points. These 3 points are direct quotes from this verse. Point number one, I beg you. Point number one, look at it. I beg you, number one, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. Now notice the word therefore. I beseech you therefore. Now you've heard this before. Anytime you see the word therefore, look and see why it is therefore. And we see that what this is doing is it's shooting us back to what He's just mentioned, what He's just said, what has already been spoken about. He's talking about the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans. He's saying because of what you've just heard, by the mercies of God. Here's what He's saying. Stay with me here. In the first 11, right here, in the first 11 chapters of this glorious book, He bases, now get this, before He ever gets to what He's begging me for, He's not even gotten to it yet, but before he ever gets to it, he gives the motive, and he says, the motive that I'm giving you to say yes to me is my mercies. He's saying, I beg you, by the mercies of God. In other words, get this, in the first 11 chapters, we see the whole world is guilty before God, and therefore they are under the wrath of God, sentenced to death. But though this is true, God, who is rich in mercy, sent his only begotten Son to die so that we might be justified, chapter 3, verse 28. And to be justified means an act of God whereby he declares ungodly men to be perfect while still sinners based on Christ's atoning work. And because of this, believers in chapter 8 are free from condemnation. We are indwelt by the Spirit, blessed with adoption. We have victory in suffering. We have help in intercession. God is our defense and our right to our heavenly inheritance. In Christ we have forgiveness, chapter 3, verse 25. In Christ we have hope, chapter 5, verse number 2. In Christ we have reconciliation, chapter 5, verse number 10. We are now children, chapter 8. Verse 16, and we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ, chapter 8, verse 17. What great mercies God has given to his precious children. I'm telling you tonight that this is the basis of what he's getting ready to beg us for. He's saying, what I'm getting ready to ask you for and beg you for and plead with you about, I'm giving you the motive of my mercies in your life. Can I say this to you? When we see how good God's been and when we understand where we were and where we still would be without the mighty grace and mercies of God, now that we've been sanctified, justified, I'm telling you, it ought to make us stand up, salute, and say, whatever he wants me to do, my answer is already yes. Amen tonight, friends. He's saying, I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God. He's saying, because I have saved you, because I have changed your life, because I have glorified you, I have justified you, I have sanctified you, I have forgiven you, I've given you a home in heaven. This is his motive. And I'm telling you, whatever he asks us for, he deserves our answer to be yes. Amen. I'm telling you, because of what he's done, his great mercies that he's shown in our life, he's saying, this is what I'm basing, what I'm getting ready to beg you for. You know what he's telling us? I deserve it, what I'm getting ready to ask you for. That's what he's saying. I beg you, number one, by the mercies of God. Number two, I beg you that ye present your bodies. That she presents your bodies. You don't mind if I take my coat off, do you? I've been burning up all day up here. And I am burning up. You know what that means? That means my blood is boiling. I'm ready to go here. I'm kidding with you, all right? Number one, I beg you, by the mercies of God. Number two, that she presents your bodies. Notice this, the Bible says that ye present your bodies. And then he gives us a three-point outline how to present it. A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. Now here's what I'm trying to say to you. What is it that God is begging me for? Make sure you're with me. Does God need me, friends? No. Does he need anything? No. Is he begging me because he's a pauper? No. He's begging me because he wants to bless my life and he wants to use me. And he bases this upon his mercies. Then he says, here's what I'm begging you for. I'm begging you for your body. I want your body. That ye present your body. You know what the word present here means? It means to bring before. It means to give it presently, right now. It means to provide it, to yield it, to place it at somebody else's disposal. It's also calling for a definite act to be done once for all. In other words, a living sacrifice, a sacrifice not coming back. And he's saying, what I'm begging you to do is jump up on the altar, all of you. I want every inch of you. And when you make that decision, don't you get off the altar again. This is what he's asking for. This is what he's begging for. 1 Corinthians 6:13. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 2 Corinthians 8:5, they first gave their own selves to the Lord. And you know, I like how he goes on to explain how to present our bodies. He's saying, I beseech you by God's mercies, by what he's done in your life, by what he's done for you, saving you, forgiving you, delivering you from condemnation. I beseech you because of that, that you bring your body to me and you get on the altar and you never get off of it again. And then he goes on to give a 3-point outline. I've already said it. He said, here's how I want you to bring it to me. Here's how I want your body to be whenever you get on the altar. Here's how I want you to present your body to me. First of all, under this, he said, present it a living sacrifice. Now, the word living is in present tense. So that means right now, he wants you on the altar. Right now, he wants to be calling the shots in your life. Right now, he wants to be the one who's in charge of your life. The word sacrifice carries several connotations. Let me just give you one or two of them here, or however many there are. This living sacrifice implies that he who offers it now offers it completely. Because in the book of Leviticus, they put the whole thing on the altar. In other words, when they sacrificed in the Old Testament, they didn't have a leg hanging off the altar, friends. They didn't have an arm hanging off the altar. They put the whole thing on the altar. And when they burn it, they sacrificed the entire thing. And when they were bringing that sacrifice to the altar, they were releasing all claim or rights to it. And they were leaving it to be disposed of for the honor of God. It was set apart to the service of God. And he who offered it released all claim on it, submitted it to God to be disposed of at his will. This is the offering which the apostle here is entreating in the book of Romans. He's saying, get up on the altar. Take your hands off of your life. Relinquish your rights to yourself. And I want every piece of you to be sacrificed to me. This is what he's saying here. He's saying, I don't want you to have any claim on your life any longer. I want you to come to me and let me call the shots. Let me dispose of your life. Let me bear and appoint you to where I want you to go and what I want you to do. And let me use you for my honor any way I see fit. See, friends, the Lord wants all of us. See, we've fallen into a mistaken idea that, well, I'm doing more than he is, or I'm doing more than she is, or at least God has 3/4 of me, or God has a half of me, or God has a quarter of me. You listening to me, friends? God wants all of you. He wants every last bit of you, and he wants every last bit of me. He wants to call the shots. He wants to tell you where to go. He wants to tell you what to do. By the way, he deserves to be able to do that. Why? Because he beseeches us by his great mercies in our life. We're looking at this. Betty Scott Stamm and her husband were martyred during the early advances of the Reds in China. While she was in college, not knowing what her future held, she made this statement, I quote, I don't know what God has in store for me. I really am willing to be an old maid missionary or an old maid anything else all my life if God wants me to. It's as clear as daylight to me that the only worthwhile life is one of unconditional surrender to God's will and of living in his way, trusting his love and guidance. A year later, while still in college, she took this life motto with the glorious assurance, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Didn't know what her future held. And she recorded this prayer, and I quote, Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all, utterly to thee to be thine forever. Fill me and seal me with thy Holy Spirit. Use me as thou wilt. Send me where thou wilt. Work out thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever. His name was C.T. Studd, missionary to China and Africa in the 1800s. Here's what he said. He said, I found as I sit there alone thinking that I'd been keeping back from God what belonged to him. I found that I'd been bought with the price of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, and I kept back myself from him and had not wholly yielded. As soon as I found this out, I went down on my knees and gave myself up to God in the words of the consecrated hymn, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. He went on to say, I found the next step was to have simple childlike faith, to believe that what I'd committed to God, he was also willing to take and keep. I knew I'd committed my soul to his keeping, and he was able to keep that. How much more then was he able to keep me and what belonged to me in this world? I realized that my life was to be one of simple childlike faith, and that my part was to do. I was to trust in him, and he would work in me to do his good pleasure. From that time, my life has been different. And he's given me that peace that passeth understanding and that joy which is unspeakable. What is God begging me for? You know what he's begging me for as his child? He's not begging me for money. He's not begging me because he needs me. He's begging me because he wants to bless me. And he's begging me because he wants to use me. And he says, I'm getting ready to ask you for something. I'm getting ready to beg you for something. But before I ever get to it, I want you to know, here's the motive. Here's why I'm asking you, because I've had great mercy in your life. I don't know if that's gripping you, friends. How merciful has God been to you? You know, we're not going to fully understand it till we get to heaven. We're not going to fully understand how merciful God is to us, because we will never feel the flames of hell. Let me tell you why I'm never going to feel the flames of hell. God's mercies in my life. Let me tell you why I'm going to heaven when I die. God's mercies in my life. He's been merciful. And he says, here's what I'm begging you for because of that. I want your body. I want your eyes. I want your hands. I want your feet. I want your mind. I want your lips. I want it all. And he said, I want you to bring it to me now, present, present it now, now, once and for all. I want you to jump up on the altar as a living sacrifice. Realize that just like a sacrifice in the Old Testament was not coming back, that when you make that decision that you're never coming back again, you are mine forever. And I'll call the shots in your life. I'll tell you where to go, how to dress, what to listen to, how to speak, who to talk to, how to say it. I want your body. It's interesting that D.L. Moody was so mightily used of God. And as I've told this church on several accounts, I've got a book that talks about D.L. Moody back in my office. This book has some of his own photocopied, handwritten notes in it. And as I've told you before, that man couldn't spell worth a dime. Terrible speller, terrible. He was very poorly educated. But it goes on to say that every last ounce of that 280-pound body of his belonged to God. Everything he was and everything he had belonged completely to the Lord. It's been said that through his preaching, 1 million people trusted Christ. Can you imagine that? He can't hardly spell, but 1 million people walked the aisle during his preaching. You may tell you why? It wasn't him. It's because he did what Romans 12:1 says. He gave his body a living sacrifice. Henry Varley was said to be a very intimate friend of Mr. Moody in the early days of his work. Loved to tell how he once said to him that it remains to be seen what God will do with a man who gives himself up wholly to him. And this man who tells the story says he's told that when Mr. Henry Varley said that to Mr. Moody, that Moody said to himself, well, I will be that man. In other words, I'll give him everything. You know, there are tens and thousands of men and women in Christian work today, friends. Many of them are brilliant people. Many of them are brilliant men and women who have put all conscious sin out of their life. Good, godly people. Yet many of those same people who have made great sacrifices have stopped short of absolute surrender. They'll go so far, but no further. But I'm telling you something, friends. Mr. Moody did not stop short of absolute surrender. He was a wholly surrendered man. And God used him in a marvelous way. God used that man to help shake two continents for His glory. And I'm telling you something, maybe you can't be much, but you can be surrendered. You say, I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't. You listening to me? Neither can I. Because without Jesus, none of us can do anything. But with Him, we can do all things. And I'm telling you that if you give your life lock, stock, and barrel to Jesus, stop calling the shots in your own life, let Him call them. See, if you're completely consecrated, if you're a living sacrifice, there'll be no more excuses. You understand what I'm saying to you? Well, I'm not going sorting because I just don't know how to do it. Wait a minute. That's a sacrifice that's not up on the altar calling his own shots over here. If we're completely sacrificed, our answer is already yes to whatever God says. He says, bring it a living sacrifice. And I'm telling you that even as the typical sacrifice was put to death, even so our living sacrifice must also be put to death daily so that our Lord can live through us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. Number one, I beg you by the mercies of God. Number two, that ye present your bodies under that, first of all, a living sacrifice. Bring it now and make your plans not to ever come back. Secondly, bring it holy. You know what that word holy means? It means like God. For instance, it means to be consecrated, set apart, and without blemish. Let me ask you a question. Does God deserve our best? Sure He does. So He's saying when you make this decision to get up on the altar, you make sure you bring it as holy as it can be. In other words, if there's sin in your life, get it out. If there's a blemish in your life, get it out. And then say, God, I'm yours to use any way you see fit. Deuteronomy 15:21, if there be any blemish therein, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 17:1, thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any wherein is blemish or any evil favoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Leviticus 22:20, but whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. Then thirdly, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, and thirdly, acceptable unto God. You know what these words means? It means to be fully agreeable with. It means to be well-pleasing to. For instance, it matters little what men think of us, but it matters much what God thinks of us. He's saying this, I'm begging you by my mercies. I'm begging you because of what I've done in your life, that ye bring your body a living sacrifice. Make it present tense right now. Get up on the altar once forever. Don't ever get off. I want to use it all for my glory and make sure there's no blemish in it. And make sure that when you jump up on the altar that you don't care what he thinks, what she thinks, what that church thinks, what that person thinks, what that schoolmate thinks, what that classmate thinks, what that coworker thinks. You make sure that when you jump up on the altar that you have one motive in life, and that is God pleased with me? Is God pleased with me? He's saying, when you come to me, live for my approval. Let me tell you something, friends. Could you imagine what would happen if a crowd this size left tonight and said, I'm finished calling the shots in my life? Could you imagine what would happen if everybody left here tonight and said, if God says go, I'm going. If he says stop, I'm stopping. If he says don't, I'm not. If he says do, I am. I am a living sacrifice. He can have everything of me. Could you imagine what would happen if every one of us said, I'm living to please God and God alone? That settles everything in life, friends. It really does. You heard the name George Mueller? Here's what he said many years ago. He said, there was a day when I died, utterly died, And as he spoke, they say he bent lower and lower until he almost touched the floor and went on to say, died to George Mueller, his opinions, preferences, taste, and will. Died to the world, its approval or censure. Died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends. And since then, I've studied only to show myself approved unto God. Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your instruments of righteousness unto God. Number one, I beg you by the mercies of God. Number two, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And number three, which is your reasonable service. God is begging His children to present our bodies to Him for Him to use us any way He sees fit. That's what He's begging us for. And Him begging us for our body is only logical. It's only reasonable. See, when the Lord died on Calvary, He gave us everything He had. He sacrificed Himself for us. And as His child, He demands no less from us. He gave us His all. Now He's asking us for our all. Somebody put it this way. We are not our own. We are the property of the Lord. By right of creation and redemption. And it would be as unreasonable as it would be wicked not to live to His glory in strict obedience to His will. That person is saying, we don't belong to ourselves. We're God's. He earned us because He created us, and He earned us because He bought us in salvation. And it's only reasonable for us to live a life that pleases Him. You know, it's interesting here that the word service, which is your reasonable service, you know what that word means? It means worship, which is your reasonable worship. That's what this word means. Therefore, after all He's done for us, it is only reasonable worship for us to give Him our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, and acceptable unto Him. I remember Dr. Tom Farrell being here. What a preacher. He's coming. He'll be here for Easter Sunday, starting a revival. We're excited about him coming. He can preach just a little bit, you know. We're excited about him coming. I remember him, I believe he was in this pulpit. I might have heard him say this in another pulpit, but I think it was here. That he brought out the word worship and brought it out by saying, here's a good way to remember what worship means. Worship is worth-ship. Worth-ship. In other words, when you worship God, you're saying you are worthy of this. You are worthy for me to say yes. You are worthy for me to obey. You are worthy for me to live in obedience. That's worship. And it's only reasonable tonight that all of us say, I'm finished calling the shots in my life. I'm finished. I'm done. Whatever God wants, He can have it. In this meeting down in Florida, it's interesting that on Wednesday night of the revival, we had a great revival, great church revival. I had some folks saved, but had a great church revival. And the lead usher got up on Wednesday night. He's the lead usher. I think he's the treasurer or something like that as well. And he got up and he was broken. And he got up before the church and he said, I want to ask this church to forgive me. He's crying, weeping. He said, because I failed in my witnessing, in my visiting people. And he said, I want you to know something, church. I'm asking you to keep me accountable. And I want to do what God's called me to do. That was a great time in that service, friends. See, we as God's people so many times have fallen prey to the thought, well, God understands. God knows I don't have time. God understands how busy I am. Sure, He understands how busy you are. He gave you the same amount of time He gave every other human being on planet Earth. And we need to let Him call the shots in our lives, friends. It's simple. Let Him have your life. Talk the way He tells you to talk. Go where He tells you to go. Let Him call the shots. Let Him tell you what to do. What a picture we have in this text. When we should be on our face begging God to use us. We really should be. We ought to be on our face, but God, please use me, please! But instead of us on our face begging Him to use us, He's begging us to let us use Him, for Him to use us. The God who needs nothing is begging His children for something. You know what it is? You. He wants you. He wants our best. He wants our bodies. Several years ago, there was an article that was concerning Queen Mary. She made it a practice to visit Scotland every year, and she was so loved by the people there that she often mingled among them without a protective escort. And one afternoon, while walking with some children, she went out further than she planned, and dark clouds came over, and it was going to rain, it looked like. So she stopped by a nearby house to borrow an umbrella. When she knocked on the door, a lady came to the door and said, you know, I just was talking with her, and she said, if you'll lend me an umbrella, I'll deliver it back to you sometime tomorrow. There's something interesting about this woman who lived there. She didn't recognize this lady. It was the queen, but she didn't recognize her as Queen Mary. This was Queen Mary asking me for an umbrella. She didn't recognize her. Because who would expect the queen just out in the middle of nowhere knock on your door, you see? She didn't recognize her. She had a really good umbrella, but then she had an old tattered one that she's just going to throw it away anyway. So she thought to herself, well, I'll just give her this one because I'll probably never see this again. So she gave her the worst one of the two. She gave her the old tattered one, the one she's going to throw away. The next day there's a knock on her door, and when the lady opened it, she was greeted by a royal guard who was holding in her hand her old tattered umbrella. The queen sent me, this man said, and she asked me to thank you for loaning her this. And at that moment, the woman was stunned and realized what she did. That was the queen at my door? And the story goes that she burst into tears and said this, oh, what an opportunity I missed. I didn't give the queen my very best. It's a shame when folks in Scotland years ago burst out because they gave a queen an old tattered umbrella, and that there's not more Christians bursting out in tears saying, God, forgive me for not giving you my life. He wants us. He desires to use us. He deserves to use us. His name was F.B. Meyer. By the way, the devil is a master at making you think, hey, if you make this decision at that little preacher up there, if you make this decision at that little country boy preacher up there, oh, I'm telling you, hey, if you listen to him and jump up on the altar, God's going to send you to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa, and he's going to scare you to death, and you'll never have peace one day in your life. That's the way the devil works. F.B. Meyer thought like that. He really did. And he began to reflect on that point. And then he thought to himself, he said, I remembered my daughter. In other words, the devil was working on him the same way. Oh, if you give God your life, it's over, it's over. It's going to be terrible. He's going to make you miserable. Don't you tell me he doesn't work that way, friend. Sure he does. He still does today. F.B. Meyer said he was working on him that way, and then he thought about his daughter. He said he thought to himself, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, imagine if my wife and I, if our little baby girl came running up to us and said, Daddy, I'm done. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm yours. Wherever you tell me to go, I'll go. My answer's already yes.
I mean, I'm going to obey you from now on, Daddy. You are the leader in my life. I've already said yes to you. And he said, can you imagine me and my wife saying, okay, now it's our time to get her. Oh, honey, where can we torment her? Where can we make her life miserable? No, he said, listen, if my daughter came to me and did that, he said, what we would do is something like this. Is there anything in her life that's hurting her? Yes, such and such. Well, let's make it easy, but let's get it out and let's replace it with what her little heart's been searching for all along. You listening to me? You give your life to God, you find what you've been searching for all your life. It's called peace. Peace. It's interesting that the surrender of one's life and will to Jesus is essential to a life of joy and victory. Oswald Chambers called this giving up my right to myself. We hold back nothing, no earthly life, no material gain, no pride-filled position, but simply say, Jesus, do with my life whatever you want. Many Christians hold back from yielding all to Christ because they fear that it will bring terrible consequences. The death of a loved one or some great loss. And I'm simply saying, don't believe the lie of the devil, friends. Give your life to God and let him use you. F.B. Meyer went on to say this. I'm just about done. But he went on to say this. He said, I knelt down that night and thought that I could give myself to Christ as easily as possible. He said, I gave him an iron ring, the iron ring of my will, with all the keys of my life on it, except one little key that I kept back for myself. And the master said, are they all here? I said, they're all there but one, the key of my tiny closet in my heart of which I must keep control. He said to me, if you don't trust me in all, you don't trust me at all. I tried to make terms. I said, Lord, I'll be so devoted in everything else, but I can't live without the contents of that closet. He said, I believe my whole life was just hovering in the balance, and if I'd kept the key to that closet and mistrusted Christ, he never would have trusted me with the ministry of his blessed word. He seemed to be receding from me. And I called him back and said, and here's what many of us may need to say tonight. He said, I'm not willing, but I'm willing to be made willing. Did you hear what he said? I'm not willing, but I'm willing to be made willing. He said, it seemed as though he came near and took the key out of my hand and went straight for the closet. I knew what he would find there, and he knew too. Within a week from that time, he'd cleared it right out. But he had filled it with something so much better. Why, what a fool I was. He wanted to take away the sham jewels and give me the real ones. He goes on to say he just took away the thing which was eating out my life and instead gave me himself. I wonder, have you given God all the keys of your life? Are you on the altar completely? Are you? Let me ask you a question, friends. I've got my keys with me tonight. Let's say that these keys are the iron ring of your will and your service. There's a lot of keys on it. God says, I want it all. I don't want some of it. I don't want most of it. I don't want a majority of it. I want it all. I'm telling you that if you give him all of that and keep that with you, you are not obeying Romans 12:1. You know what Romans 12:1 is? God, you can have that. You can have that. You can have that. You can have it all. I ask you, how many keys have you given him? Well, you can have my music, but you can't have this. You can have that, but I'm going to keep that for myself. You listening to me? If you don't give him everything, you will never see what he can do with your life. There's a song, you've longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase. and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot rest, have rest, or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest if you give Him your heart and your soul. Is all of it on the altar? Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy and grace. Thank You for Your word. Speak to us, I pray. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin the playthrough softly. And I begin where the Lord would have me to begin, and that is this. He begs us by His mercies, and I ask you this question. Has His mercies been spread abroad in your life? Have you trusted Christ is what I'm asking. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Are you really a believer? If you're here tonight and say, Jody, I don't know the Lord as my Savior. I've never experienced God's mercies. May I remind you that the book of Lamentations tells us that His mercies are fresh and new every morning. And He has plenty of mercy left for you right now. But if you say no to Him and reject Him, there's coming a day when His mercies will run out. If there's somebody here that doesn't know the Lord, come and let us take a Bible. Let us share with you the gospel. Tonight I ask the Christians this question. Be careful, Christian. Don't lie. You can lie to me, but you cannot lie to an all-knowing God. There's none of us perfect, and I know that. I know we're not perfect. But I ask you this question. Is your all really on the altar? I mean, is it lock, stock, and barrel? It's over. You're finished with it. I mean, have you really made the decision that wherever He tells you to go, whatever He tells you to do, your answer is already yes? Let me be honest tonight and say, Jody, God is speaking to me. I know He deserves me to do this. And folks, listen to me. This doesn't mean that you're not surrendered at all. It just might mean that you're not surrendered completely. And you say, God is speaking to me. Maybe your body's on the altar, but maybe a leg's hanging off, or maybe a hand's hanging off. You follow me what I'm saying here? Maybe you've given Him all of your keys, but there's one still left in your pocket because you're just maybe afraid of what it might be if you do give it up. Or if you do say, I'll go anywhere, whatever it is. Maybe you say, Jody, God's speaking to me. God knows my heart. I want to give Him my all. I really do. God's speaking to me about this. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, God is speaking to me. I want to give Him all that I have. Yes. God bless you. May the Lord help you. You can put your hands down. Let's all stand together, shall we? Father, we love You and thank You for this day. Some have already responded. I pray You help others to respond. Help us to see the great, great ability that You have given us, an opportunity and responsibility that You've given us to let go and let You have Your way with us. Thy will be done. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. Hey, I'm calling on some leaders in this church, some teachers, some bus captains, some deacons, some choir members, some ushers. I'm calling on laymen of this church and folks that are not in a leadership position, but God is speaking to you and saying, hey, I want to give it all to Him. I want to give it all to Him. I'm finished making my own decisions. I want Him to have it all. I want on the altar completely. Whatever it is, whatever it is. As Brother Gary sings, come. Some have already responded. You come. Would you do it? Come talk to God. Talk to God. Say, God, I'm finished. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm done.
and have earnestly fervently.
Oh, if we really mean what we're singing, what a difference it'll make.
But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed.
Give it all, friends.
Until all on the altar.
Give it all. If you know it, sing it.
Sacrifice laid, your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed
you, okay?
And have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Still standing, you can look this way. Too many days of my life, I've had a leg hanging off the altar. Too many days of my life, I've had a hand hanging off the altar. Too many days of my life, I've tried to get my head hanging off the altar and call the own shots in my life. That's not the Christian life. Christian life is a life of surrender. Christian life is a life of denying self, taking up our cross, following the Lord. I'm telling you, this is what the Christian life is all about. And I believe the Lord's used this message. I want to give Him glory and honor about it. Let's sing that last verse, Brother Gary. If nobody else responds, this will be it. Let's sing the last verse.
Who can tell of the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made. Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when our all on the altar.
Sing it if you know it. Father, bless this church. Keep your hand of blessing upon it. Bless us as we go our separate ways. And help all the Christians who are here tonight. Help me to set the example. Help us to get up on the altar completely, once and for all. Be done with calling our own shots, doing our own thing. Use us, I beg now. Please help us to be faithful to You. Thank You for being faithful to us. Thank You for Your great mercies in our lives. We love You tonight, but we're reminded that we love You because You first loved us. Bring us back safely on Wednesday night, I pray, and bless the people right where they're at during the week in Jesus' name. Amen. As you leave, there are gospel tracts available for you. Pick them up. Take them to work with you. Take them to school with you, young people. Take them to the ball field, young people. Whatever it is. Let's saturate the area with the gospel of Christ this week. May the Lord help us with it.